Who's out there?
Please, will you open the door?
And accept it or be stupid and be a skeptic.
Inconceivable, unbelievable.
Unidentified flying objects.
I want to believe.
Welcome to Season 7, Episode 3 of the I Want to Believe podcast. I'm Nomar Slevic. With an unobstructed gaze and the deep, unsettling idea that the youngest of our species are out to do us harm, black-eyed kids continue to terrify many unsuspecting people across the world. So, let's continue where we left off. This is part 6 of the Black Eyed Kids saga. Now, before we jump into the episode and hear a bunch of BEK stories, I wanted to announce that my book is finally out. UFOs Over Maine 10th Anniversary Edition. This is the most comprehensive book on the UFO phenomena in the state of Maine. There are over 400 pages and almost 200 stories. The book is now available in my online store. The GoFundMe link is still active, so you can donate there, you can buy it on my store, you can also get it on Amazon, and it is available as an ebook as well. The cost of the book is $25 plus tax and shipping. The cost of the ebook is $8.99. I'll have you know, some people have called the book brilliant, engaging, scary, and an overall good time. Those are people that have donated to the GoFundMe, and I thank them so, so much for helping me get this book off of the launching stages and out into the world. So check the show notes for links to purchase the book, or just check my social media and you will see links there. All right, enough of all that. Let's get into some black-eyed kid stories.
The black-eyed children legend typically revolves around encounters with mysterious children whose most striking feature is their completely black eyes, devoid of any discernible iris or pupil. A person, often alone or with a small group, encounters one or more children, usually between the ages of 6 and 16, while out at night or in secluded areas. The children appear unexpectedly, often asking for assistance, a ride, or to be let into the person's home.
All of these stories come from the Phantoms and Monsters website. Shout out to Lon Strickler and all the work he's done over the years. Also, some stories have been edited for readability. This first story comes to us from an anonymous witness. It's a short one, but certainly interesting. This incident occurred in June 2019 while I was living in Nashville, Tennessee. School had let out, and I would stay at a friend's house most weekends. Because I couldn't sleep, I often went for late-night walks within the neighborhood. Now, don't get me wrong, I've had plenty of strange things happen to me on my night walks, from the homeless offering me a duck to being followed by a car of drunk guys, but this night was different. I saw two figures come out of the woods. They looked smaller and younger than me, and I was instantly curious. I followed the kids, staying quiet, when suddenly the little girl, she seemed to be younger than the boy, stood in the middle of the road. A car was coming, and I bolted out and tackled her. The thing nearly missed both of us. When I looked down, the little girl was more annoyed than happy or grateful. But what got my attention was the black eyes. It was like staring into a void. I couldn't look away. As soon as I looked into them, I felt a rush of fear so strong that it had overwhelmed everything. I still don't know how long that it lasted or if anything happened, but the next thing I knew, the boy was ripping me off the girl with surprising strength. By now, I was completely freaked out, and I couldn't bring myself to check his eyes. I was able to get away and sprinted off. I could hear them running after me, yelling for me to wait, to stop, and I don't know why, but I almost did. I ended up sprinting through the backyards until I couldn't hear them anymore. I'm not crazy. I know it really happened.
The urban legend of the black-eyed children arose in the late 1990s, with stories circulating on the internet about strange children with solid black eyes knocking on doors asking to be let inside. Those who have encountered them report an intense feeling of dread and panic, even though the children do not overtly threaten or become violent. The children continue pleading to be let inside, but people overwhelmingly feel an instinctual urge to not let them in. In some accounts, the black-eyed children suddenly vanish when the door is shut on them. While they display no signs of being dangerous themselves, they invoke a deep sense of terror in those who see this, 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 who see
this, who see this. This next story features something a little different. A black-eyed adult. This may be a theme tonight. It was Saturday night around 9 p.m. and no one was home. Everyone had gone out for dinner and I decided to stay home as I felt nauseous. I'm 8 months pregnant and was exhausted after having worked 10 hours. I was in my kitchen rummaging through the fridge for a light snack when someone knocked on my front door. This surprised me because my family has keys. They would just open the door right away. Also, in my neighborhood, you know not to open the door unless you're expecting company. The knocking continued. Now irritated, I go to the front door and look out the peephole to see a woman in her 50s just standing there, staring down at my welcome mat. Seems harmless, I think to myself, and stupidly open the door. The screen door is still locked and standing in between her and I. Awkwardly, she hasn't looked up and hasn't said a word, so I ask, "Can I help you?" She stays quiet. Then, without any emotion, more like in a monotone voice, she asks if she can use my phone. I said I didn't have one. People snatch phones and run away in my city, so I was paranoid and lied. She asked again more forcibly to use my phone and then demanded by saying, "Let me in," and looked up at me. Her eyes were solid black and holds eye contact with me, almost smirking. I remember the stories I have read, all of the children, but here was this older lady with black eyes. The only way I can describe how she made me feel is that I felt threatened. I looked away, but quickly looked back at her eyes. Something about them draws you in. I tell her no, and then I demanded that she leave, and I began to slowly close the door. She practically screams, "Let me in!" Startled, I turn on the porch light, hoping to scare her away. What she does next confuses me to this day. She can clearly see me now, looks down at my pregnant tummy, turns around, and walks away. That's it. No looking back, no nothing. I was dumbfounded. That was 3 years ago, and I have not seen her since. The mere presence of the black-eyed woman remains with me to this day. My child was born without incident.
The black-eyed children phenomenon has sparked curiosity and fear in equal measure. These eerie encounters have captivated the imagination of many. The true nature of black-eyed children remains elusive, with theories ranging from supernatural entities and psychological phenomena. Despite skepticism and speculation, the enigma of the black-eyed children continues to intrigue those fascinated by the paranormal and the occult.
This next story is from a person who identified themselves with the initials AF, also encountered a BEA, a black-eyed adult. I just made that up. I'm sure I'm not the first one. But anyway, I work in a factory during the graveyard shift from 10 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. in Columbus, Ohio. On a night in April of 2017, I was actually working my sixth day in a row for overtime. I've had this job for a while now, and I'm used to this kind of schedule. I'm bringing this up because typically, after I get home, I am still wide awake and tend to sleep later in the day. I was totally alert when this happened. I ended up leaving work early since I completed a lot more orders than usual, and I was on my way home at around 4:30 a.m. I turned down the side street that leads to my apartment complex, and I immediately noticed it was quite dark, as the streetlights were not illuminated. The suburb I live in uses streetlights that have sensors, so they light up when people walk by them and turn off by themselves to save energy. I turned on my high beams as I come around a small bend in the road that leads up to a children's park and the only stop sign on this street. I then noticed something in the middle of the road. My first thought was that it was some stacked garbage that maybe blew off of the curb, but as I drove closer, I slowed down and realized it was a person walking down the street with their back to me. It seemed like an old person, a very old person actually, by the way they were walking. I slowed down a lot because it was very odd. I didn't know if they were going to jump in front of my car or what, since there are well-maintained sidewalks less than 10 feet from them to use. The next thing I notice is the clothing. They are wearing a hooded jacket with the hood up and their hands inside the front pouch. They're also wearing sweatpants and what look like to be soaking wet slippers. As soon as I was next to them, they whipped around and stared at me. I could then see how pale and wrinkly their skin was, and then I saw the pitch black eyes. No whites, just black. I was immediately filled with terror and almost froze up, but I managed to floor it and sped the last few blocks to my apartment. I parked and then sprinted inside, locking all my doors and windows. I couldn't sleep at all.
Skeptics argue that these encounters are merely urban legends, tales spun to scare and intrigue. Yet, countless testimonies from people around the world paint a consistent picture of these eerie encounters, leaving many to wonder what lies behind the black eyes of these children. Are they malevolent spirits, extraterrestrial entities, or something else entirely? The truth, if it exists, remains shrouded in mystery. Some speculate that the black-eyed children are lost souls seeking solace or redemption. Others believe they are ancient supernatural creatures seeking to feed on the life force of unsuspecting victims. Regardless of their origin or purpose, one thing is certain: encounters with the black-eyed children leave an indelible mark on those who experience them.
Okay, it must be a trend because here is another black-eyed adult encounter. In early February 2017, something really unusual took place. I was in the local Target store in a Philadelphia suburb shopping with my daughter. As we walked down the aisle on our way to the electronics department, I noticed a young woman ahead of us. She was about 20 years old or so. There was absolutely nothing remarkable at first. She was thin, had long dark brown hair, a t-shirt, sweatpants, and sneakers. It appeared she was biting her nails because her hand was next to her mouth. As we got closer in passing, there was something weird about her gait. Her stride seemed to be long and exaggerated. She was a little over 5 feet in height, so it just looked odd. As we got closer, what had appeared to be nail biting was actually her biting her fingernails, to the point where there was blood visible. As we passed her, the woman turned and looked at me, and her eyes were jet black. She just gazed at me, staring me down as if to intimidate me. It was like nothing I had ever experienced before, and a thought came into my head. I'm not scared of you. I know what you are. My daughter says I was staring her down like she was staring at me. So I continued to walk by, ignored her the best I could, and stoically kept going. As we continued, my daughter stopped and bent down to fix her shoelaces. When she did so, she glanced back at the black-eyed woman, and she was walking away from us. She then told me that this woman turned to look back at us, and her head turned 360 degrees. It frightened my daughter so bad that she begged us to leave the store. I now feel as though this was an evil being. The negative energy was palpable, very intense, and frightening. I never really believed in this black-eyed people phenomenon, but now I know that they exist. And I'm confident that they are demonic and take on the form of humans.
BEK are such great modern folklore because they defy romanticized notions of childhood and the inherent goodness of children, ideas that have evolved over time. The perception of children as innocent and weak, requiring constant adult instruction both morally and physically, is a relatively modern invention. Prior to the Romantic period, children were largely socially insignificant. They were background characters, relegated to chores, familial duties, and little else. But with the progression of the industrial age in the late 18th century, as infant mortality declined and literature and philosophy regarding child education grew, alongside increased scrutiny around child labor, the cultural concept of the child changed. Childhood became a sacred cultural symbol, a time of perceived innocence and happiness when children were not valued for their usefulness or economic viability, but rather for their hopeful possibility and vulnerability.
Hey, Nomar Slevic here, interrupting my own podcast again to tell you and remind you about my brand new book, UFOs Over Maine, 10th Anniversary Edition. Over 400 pages and almost 200 stories of extraterrestrial encounters from Mainers written by a Mainer. You can find a link in the show notes or check out any of my social media platforms. Also, I wanted to let everybody know that my documentary, Otherworldly and More, is available at Opera House Video in Belfast, Maine. If you happen to find yourself in the area, stop on in, say hi to Dennis, and rent my documentary. Thanks so much. Back to the podcast. Okay, we're changing gears here quite drastically. We're moving on to an infant encounter with a peculiar incident near a restaurant and department store. In 2014, I used to work at a Thai restaurant that was right next to a Walmart. Once in a while, when my break would start, I would walk over to the store. One time, I was walking on the sidewalk about midway between the two buildings when a woman exited the Walmart with a young child in a stroller. As I walked past them, I looked at the child and it looked over at me. And I'm not joking when I say this. The child's face turned grayish green and it expanded somewhat on the sides and stretched out a bit in the front. Its eyes then turned black. It glared at me and stuck out its tongue, then immediately went back to normal, and it looked away like nothing had happened. I knew it was mocking me and did it deliberately so that I would see. There was no one else on the sidewalk besides the mother. It happened very fast, but I remember very clearly, and I think about it every once in a while, even though it happened 9 years ago. I know what I saw. And even remember knowing exactly what I was seeing as it happened. The baby shape-shifted into some sort of reptilian demonic creature. It did it intentionally, and it was to scare me. I have never been able to get that image out of my head. I don't know if that baby was a black-eyed kid or a reptilian or the witness made the whole thing up, but if there's any truth to it at all, it is certainly one of the most bizarre, I have ever heard.
Are these predators also shapeshifters that take on the form of something more innocent to trick their victims? Throughout history and in folklore, the idea of something morphing into a child to appear less threatening goes back thousands of years. In Judeo-Christian folklore, demons are said to take on the form of children or use the voice of a child to make the victim more vulnerable and therefore more susceptible for possession. What if there is some weight to the idea that something evil could infect the innocent and a susceptible child? In these claims of possession, the possessed will often exhibit signs of superhuman strength, inhuman abilities, and have knowledge that no child or no ordinary person would know. What if these abnormally astute, unnerving black-eyed children were not evil, but were infected by it?
The following story is actually a typical BEK encounter, but there's a bit of a twist. Here's a story that happened to me several years ago. I had just turned 21 and I went to my dad's in Denver, Colorado for part of my spring break. I had nothing to do late at night, so on a Sunday night, I was leaving a little pub at around 1 in the morning. I was a little buzzed and wore a big black sweatshirt with dark jeans so I could fend off any creepers. I was walking back home in the dark with my phone out as a flashlight. I was about 3 houses away from mine when I looked over and saw 2 figures on a neighbor's porch. They were talking to a man who kept shaking his head, seeming like he was refusing to open the screen door. I stopped cautiously at the end of the driveway, holding my phone, ready to help or to call 911. I really had no idea what was happening. I could only think that these 2 people were harassing the man, and he was looking angry and kind of scared. I just stood there, watching, and I heard the 2 boys, 2 kids it sounded like. I stepped forward, kind of involuntarily moving forward. I don't know why I was doing that. I found myself halfway up the driveway, and I was illuminated by the porch light, and because of this, the man and the kids, if they looked, could see me clearly. I heard the kids' voices saying, "Let us in. We need to call our mom. Please, you have to let us in." There was no fear in their voices, just confidence. I had chills running down my spine and I was unable to move. I tried to make sense of the situation, but I couldn't. It just looked like a man was refusing to help 2 kids, but the sense of dread just made no sense. Without thinking, I cleared my throat. The man looked up and the kids turned around. The man looked even more afraid at this point. He closed the door. It made me jump. Maybe he thought I was one of them. The kids looked back at me and I looked straight at them, and every instinct I had was telling me to run for it. I was close to home, just a few houses away, and I knew for a fact that my dad had left the door unlocked. The kids started coming closer. I could see them better in the light, and that's when I realized they had no white in their eyes, just blackness. They slowly kept coming towards me. I don't know why I didn't run, and I feel stupid for saying this, but I was compelled to stay. The tallest of the 2 was right in front of me now. He was only a few inches shorter than me, and I glanced down at him. And he stared back up at me and said, "We have to use your phone." He knew what he wanted, and for being alone with a stranger at 1 a.m., he didn't seem at all afraid. I said, "I don't have one," and I kind of backed up with my hands up. I didn't want to be that close to him, but I still couldn't run, even though I wanted to. Then he said, "Please, can we come in and use the phone? We need to get a hold of our mom." And like all my instincts told me to lie, because at this point, I knew I could not run them. They were right there in front of me. They told me they needed to call their mom, and I said, "I don't have a phone. I don't even live on this street or anywhere near here. I'm sorry." I could tell my voice was kind of shaky because I was so nervous. I continued, "I'm in the same boat as you guys. My ride ditched me, and I'm just walking around until I find a phone too." I figured that maybe they would leave me alone if they believed I couldn't help them. It didn't work. They said again, please help us. We need to be let in. I was like, I don't know, try another house or a payphone. I have some change if you want it. They just stared at me blankly, and then they both kind of nodded and stared, and I was like, okay, I have to go, good luck. And I turned and walked in the direction that I came. I just kept thinking, they can smell fear, so I walked off calmly. I didn't reach for my phone, I just kept walking. And I must have walked 3 or 4 blocks until I finally turned around. My heart was pounding like crazy. I didn't see anything until I reached the neighbor's house. The porch light was still on, and the man was standing there with the door open and the screen door closed. He was holding a baseball bat. Our eyes met, and I looked at him confused until I realized that I looked like one of those kids. That's why he was so scared. I called out, "Hey, did the kids leave?" And he was like, "The ones you were with earlier?" And I kind of jumped back and was like, "Whoa, I wasn't with them. I was scared of them too." He was like, "Well, I watched them walk away earlier. I don't know, I feel uneasy, and I won't let you in either." I was like, "Hey, it's okay. I have to go home. I don't want to come in." He closed the door. I walked home, and I closed and locked my door. I sat in the kitchen for a long time. I was afraid to go into my room because there was a huge window there, and I was afraid they would be standing in front of it, staring at me. Finally, I went to bed, and thankfully, the kids were not there. The next night, there was a knock at the door at about 11 p.m. My dad was asleep, and I didn't dare answer it. I can't help but feel uneasy to this day. I often wonder if that was them who had come back for me.
Fight or flight, the physiological reaction that occurs when a person is in the presence of something mentally or physically terrifying. Fight or flight refers to the two options that our ancient ancestors had to choose from when faced with something like a dangerous predator. They would either stand their ground and fight it out, or run away, 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 run away.
This last story, while not overtly scary, is certainly strange, and I feel merits mention on this episode. Here goes. I live in Fargo, North Dakota, and the winters can be brutal here. My husband is a long-haul trucker, so I'm home by myself a lot. One Monday morning, I was outside shoveling snow from my walkway. It was still snowing, but the snowblower was busted, and I wanted to get some of it out of the way. I worked on it for an hour or so, and then decided to go in and get a cup of coffee. I left the shovel on the porch. About 15 minutes later, I headed towards the front door and back outside. It was then that I noticed the shovel was missing. I knew I had left it by the door, so I looked on the porch and up and down the driveway, and then I saw someone shoveling snow by the mailbox. I walked in that direction and saw footprints along the way, so I figured this person must have taken my shovel, but why would they be out shoveling by my mailbox? I got within 20 feet or so of this person and yelled, "Hey, you have my shovel." They didn't answer. I could tell it was a teenage girl with long blonde hair. She was dressed in a dark gray jacket, but had no hat or boots. I yelled again, "Hey, what are you doing?" The person looked up. I swear, I almost fainted. The face was that of a teenage girl, but her eyes were completely black. She stared at me and didn't say a word. She dropped the shovel and continued to look at me. Then she said in a very soft voice, "I need you to help me." I stood there dumbfounded, but I kind of felt sorry for her. I picked up the shovel, then asked her, "What's the trouble?" Again, she looked at me for several seconds, not uttering a word. She then said, "Can I have the shovel?" I said, "You can use it when I'm finished. Is that okay?" She said, "Thank you," and turned and walked away. I kept an eye on her as she walked past several residences without stopping. Eventually, she got far enough away that I couldn't see her through the falling snow. The black-eyed girl never came back for the shovel, and I have no idea why she was shoveling the entrance to my driveway. I told my husband about the incident, and he replied, "I've heard talk about the black-eyed people. I didn't know they were here in Fargo."
These black-eyed kids, they let you know, we're just kids. You can let us in. We won't hurt you. Thinking that these words will be reassuring when in reality they are incredibly off-putting, because what kind of small child would feel the need to say those things? It's very weird. Something in our prehistoric lizard brains tell us that these are not real kids and that there is something to fear. So it's a good practice if you hear a knock on your car window or on your front door in the middle of the night, just let it ride. Don't answer it. Dee Wallace, who is an actress in the Hills Have Eyes movie, she said, quote, "Children are innocents, so the more they stray from that, the more frightening it is for all of us. For an innocent energy to be taken over is the gravest of abominations the world can reap upon us. Adults are expected to be corrupt and evil in a way. Children are the last hope for good, 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 for good."
And this is about the time in the podcast where I ask, do you believe in the black-eyed people? I do, and I don't mind admitting that they scare me. That's all we've got for this third episode of Season 7 of the I Wanna Believe podcast. Don't forget to grab a copy of my book, UFOs of Remain, the 10th Anniversary Edition. You can get it at my store, slevikstore.company.site, or the GoFundMe is still live. You can find those links in the show notes, or you can check out my social media platforms, and you will see the links there as well. You can also get them on Amazon and on Kindle. Feel free to follow us on Instagram at 207believe, and don't be afraid to DM us some show topic ideas. I'll talk to you next month, and thanks so much for listening. I'm Nomar Slevik.
Sweaty palms as I walk down this empty road. I got a mom, but we ain't spoke, and I don't know. I had a heart, don't speak to me anymore. And life get hard, but these last days be me more. I'm just trying to get my bands up while you running through the banners. I don't understand this. You should find your way. I hate my yearbook photo. I hate my passport. I hate my last name. I hate everything it stands for. I should probably fucking transfer. Blue and brown transport. Time to pull a transport. I never went to prom. Now I'm stuck on the dance floor. Just holding your hand. Just holding your hand. Outside your front door on my 12 speed. I got your emotions tattooed on my sleeve. I think about you all the time. I've waited for you all my life. I need you right here by my side. From mom, I don't wanna go home. I'd rather be alone, I don't wanna go home. It's getting really late, so I gotta go home. Mom's blowing off my phone, so I gotta go home. I love my mom. Outside your front door on my 12 speed. I got your emotions tattooed on my sleeve. I think about you all the time. I've waited for you all my life. I need you right here by my side. Your emotions tattooed on my